jamming so much show in 3 hours. Welcome back, or good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you are. In Southern California, I'm Jim Rome. I am live, and this show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We start our third hour with a quick bit of reaction to Ike. I let Ike host a segment of the show for his birthday. Dear Jim, Ike is like the drunk buddy when the stripper smiles at him and he thinks that she likes him. Paul in Cedar Falls, something like that. Get your beefs ready.
That is right.
The What's Your Beef segment's coming up next. But we start hour number three by having a conversation with an NFL.com senior columnist, NFL Network on-air talent. He is a Sports Emmy Award winner. He was a panelist on our daily program back in the day. He is a friend of the show. He is Jeffrey Chadiha. Jeffrey, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. How about yourself?
Good, dude. Good. Really good to have you back. Thank you so much. Let me start with last night's game, Jeffrey. What was your reaction as to how the Titans showed up after going so long without so much as even a practice? How did they look to you last night?
They looked physical. They looked good. I mean, I was stunned. I thought they would get run over by the Buffalo Bills because of what you just said. The team not practicing that much and having all those issues. You hear coaches talk about distractions and all that stuff, and they had a million of them. But somehow they came out, and they were very physical. And I think I heard afterwards that Ryan Tannehill was saying that they were upset about the way they were getting treated in the media and the things were being said about their COVID-19 outbreak. But what you saw was a team that is still very dangerous. And, look, that stiff arm that Derrick Henry put on Josh Norman, I haven't seen something like that since I was watching Patrick Swayze back in Roadhouse. You know, when he just kind of manhandling people back in those days. So it looked good.
Man, you are so right. Jeffrey Chadiha is joining us. They did look good. They were physical. They played with a big chip on their shoulder, and they look great. Now, what about Buffalo? Where does that leave them? Like, they were in that strange limbo situation when it came to whether or not that game was going to be played, whether or not they should be preparing to face Kansas City. I mean, certainly not ideal, but how bad of a night, how bad of a performance was that for the Bills?
Well, that was tough for them, but I give them a little bit of a pass just because of their injury situation. When you go into a game like that without a Pro Bowl cornerback like Tre'Davious White, a deep threat like John Brown, Zach Moss, a pretty good running back who was out. They had linemen, other linebackers were hurt. They had like four or five starters who didn't play in that game. I think it's tough to beat a team like Tennessee on the road with the way Tennessee was playing, but I like Buffalo still. And I think I just watched the Chiefs get manhandled by the Raiders, and it makes you realize good teams lose in this league. But you look at the way Josh Allen's playing. Didn't show it last night, but I think he's taken a big step. And what they have around him on offense, what they have on defense, I think that team is certainly, by the end of the year, going to be pretty good.
Jeffrey Chadiha is joining us. All right, so let me jump ahead to the game that you just mentioned. You covered Vegas-KC over the weekend. What did you make of how the Raiders showed up in that game?
Impressive. And I was one of those people who thought when John Gruden showed up in Oakland a couple years ago or 3 years ago that he was just going to get paid a lot of money and have a really bad run and it'd be the end of it. And what he showed was that he and Mike Mayock, the GM there, put together a pretty good plan. You look at what they put around Derek Carr with Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, Henry Ruggs, now a deep threat, a really good offensive line. And look at what they added on defense. It hadn't shown up that much before a couple days ago, but they've got some pretty good pieces and the back seven, the linebackers, and so they look faster, and they look like they're more committed, and they look like they believe in what John Gruden is saying. So people keep saying the Chiefs had a bad day and didn't come to play and underestimated them. I look at it like John Gruden's got that team going in the right direction.
You know, I tend to see it the same way as you. I thought that when Gruden showed up, I thought he would show up, take that paycheck, and really not make that big of a difference and maybe even hurt them more than he helps them. But that's not the case. I'll go back to the Chiefs in a minute, but you mentioned Derek Carr. Like, Derek Carr had lost all six times that he had played in Kansas City. But as you point out, he outplayed Patrick Mahomes on Sunday. It feels like, Jeffrey, it was not that long ago, there was all that talk about Gruden and Carr. Carr's days were numbered, that he was not going to be a Gruden guy. How much has that all changed since then?
Yeah, I think that was like 3 weeks ago.
Right.
It wasn't that long ago. I think it's changing quickly. And what John Gruden and again, Mike Mayock are proving is that, look, not every quarterback's going to be Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson. You're going to have to put people around them to make them play better. And so what I just said, when you see the supporting cast he has around him, Derek Carr didn't have those kind of players when he was coming into Arrowhead Stadium the six times before this past weekend. He didn't have them for most of his career. But when you see what they've done, and I think what they've also gotten rid of, I think when they traded Khalil Mack, people were laughing at them for what they did. People looked at the Antonio Brown trade was a disaster, but they got out of it fast. And so, again, those personnel moves have helped give Derek Carr the kind of support he needs. He's a good enough quarterback to win games with, and you're seeing that now with what he's doing.
Jeffrey Chidiha is joining us. So, Jeffrey, what about the Chiefs? Like, where does that leave them? For instance, as you just said, good teams get beat. This is not unusual. Good teams do lose in that league, and you don't want to overreact to only one loss. But as you look at Kansas City and the fact that they may have lost to the Patriots if Cam Newton did play, does it feel like there are a number of teams in the AFC that can take them down?
I thought that way a couple weeks ago when they played the Patriots. And I came away thinking what you just said, that if Cam Newton's playing that game, they end up losing. And I think there's two things happening with the Chiefs that should be of concern. One is that I think they've always had issues at cornerback, and they just weren't getting exposed the way they got exposed against the Raiders. But those plays the Raiders hit, they were there when they played Baltimore. They were there when they played the Patriots. They were there in the Super Bowl when Jimmy Garoppolo missed Emmanuel Sanders running wide open down the middle of the field in the fourth quarter. It's just that those quarterbacks didn't hit them. And so they got to find a way to shore up the back end of their secondary. And then the other part of it is that their offensive line isn't as good as it was last year. And so now they're not running the football well when people are playing them to, basically putting everyone in coverage, rushing three or four guys and just saying, okay, we'll spy Mahomes and we'll see what happens. And it's what the Patriots did. It's what the Raiders did. And it's working.
We are talking to Jeffrey Chidiha. It is working. And then you think, all right, so maybe they're not the team to beat. Why don't we go to the next team? Maybe the Ravens. They're 4-1. All four of their wins have been blowouts. But, of course, that one loss was that 14-point loss at home to Kansas City. Like, how much of a mark did that loss to Kansas City leave? And is it hard to consider them legitimate AFC contenders until they get over that mental block, which is Kansas City?
Yeah, well, I still believe Kansas City is the best team in the league and the best team in the AFC. But, yeah, I think the Ravens learned that as well. And, unfortunately for them, they went into that game with I liken it to when Tommy Hearns fought Marvin Hagler back when I was a kid, and Tommy Hearns tried to knock out Marvin Hagler. It was like a slugfest, and it wasn't a great strategy. And I think that's what the Ravens, how they approached the Chiefs, was like, we're going to throw our best punches at you and see what happens. And they saw what happened. They got ran out of the building. And so I think if they had a second chance at the Chiefs, they would look at what the Chargers did, the Raiders, the Patriots, and use that game plan, because you're not going to blitz Patrick Mahomes and overwhelm them and win the game. You're going to have to control him and find a way to make some plays. And they got to find a way to have Lamar Jackson get back to being a guy who wants to make plays as opposed to proving to people that he's a great dropback passer.
Dude, Tommy Hearns standing directly in front of Marvin Hagler and trying to fight that fight. Man, that was one of the most amazing things ever. It was not that smart. Tactically, that was not good. But, man, that was some Kronk gym stuff. That was Tommy Hearns. That's that was right. Detroit. Man, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to blow this guy out the way I've blown everybody else out. It's like one of the most amazing things, right?
That's right. Jericho juice flying all over the place as a result, man. He was getting knocked. He got knocked out. It was a great three minutes of boxing.
Oh, one of the best ever.
Tommy Hearns. It wasn't good for him in the end.
Jeffrey Chidiha joining us. I'm glad you used that as an analogy. Always good to reset that. So after that game against Kansas City, Lamar Jackson called KC, quote, our kryptonite. Jimmy Smith said, quote, they have our number. I mean, like, where do you come out on that? Do you like the honesty, or is that not something that a team should admit publicly about another team?
I think it's good for them, because I would imagine that the way last year ended for them, after going 14-2, a 12-game winning streak, top seed in the AFC playoffs, and you get beat by Tennessee, I'm sure they felt like we ruined a great opportunity to win a championship here. Now they know that if the Chiefs had played then, they probably would have gotten beaten in that game. And so they've got, for my money, the best roster in the league. They got a ton of talent. But I think that when they play the Chiefs, what ends up happening is they try to do things that they think they have to do to beat the Chiefs. And they get away from what they do well. But just as I said, I'm watching Lamar Jackson dropping back, and, their first drive, they go right down the field running the football. And then the last two plays of the drive, they're trying to throw it in the end zone. And it's just, I watched them play the Redskins the next week, and Lamar Jackson's running for a 50-yard touchdown. I'm just like, why aren't you trying to do that against the Chiefs? So I think that if they really are being honest with themselves, and it sounds like they are, they'll recognize that they have to play the Chiefs differently if they want to beat them.
All right, so one more thought about that. I mean, obviously, it's about the matchup and it's about the Chiefs, but is any of this, the struggles that the Ravens are having, is any of this about a struggle to deliver in the spotlight when the pressure and the attention are at their highest? Is it at all about that?
Oh, I think it is. I mean, they're starting to feel like the Houston Rockets in the NBA, where it's like they put up a lot of good numbers. They're really flashy in how they play, but when they get into a big playoff series, they don't show up. And I think you look at they're 0-3 against the Chiefs since Mahomes been a starter. They lost the Titans in the playoffs last year. They lost the year before, which I give them a little bit of a pass when they lost to the Chargers because Lamar Jackson, his first year as a starter, and they're running a makeshift offense. But they have to find a way to get a signature win. And those signature wins mean beating the best teams in the league in really high-magnitude situations.
Hey, Jeffrey, one thought before you go about Dak Prescott. You could see the kind of respect and love there was for him in the way the league and his peers reacted when he was injured. If you had to guess, I mean, the Cowboys obviously have three different ways they can handle this. They can franchise tag him again. They can extend him and do that long-term deal, or they could let him walk as a free agent. We have to wait and see how he responds to surgery. But if you had to guess, how do you think that thing plays out?
Well, I think if you're the Cowboys, you have to give a lot of thought to drafting a quarterback just as a security blanket. I mean, just not knowing how it's going to play out, what kind of quarterback he's going to be when he comes back, how long it's going to take. That team's built to win right now. And so they have all the pieces in place. I mean, the defense hasn't shown up, but they've spent a lot of money. You got a lot of big name players. So I think you have to do that, but you also have to give him an opportunity to come back and prove to the team that he can still be the quarterback they expected him to be. You know, I thought it was very emotional. It was a very emotional roller coaster for me watching football on Sunday when you see Alex Smith playing in Washington, and on the same day, Dak Prescott, tears his ankle up in a very similar type of situation. But if Dak Prescott can look at Alex Smith and see what he's done, and hopefully not go through what Alex Smith went through, hopefully it's the same. It's a great comeback story for him as well.
He is a senior columnist with NFL.com. He is an NFL Network on-air talent. He is a Sports Emmy Award winner. He used to appear with us rather religiously on the daily TV show back in the day, and a good friend of this show, too, Jeffrey Chidiha. Jeffrey, appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, man, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Always good to talk to you, Jeffrey. Jeffrey Chidiha does a really nice job. Not as nice a job, though, as Rit does, because none of us do. I'm still getting Rit reaction. All right, so really quickly, my thanks to Jeffrey Chidiha, who is a pro. Jeffrey, I'm talking about Rit. He's a guy who works for me, who I let do a segment because he thinks he can do it better than me, than you, than everybody. Ask him. Here's how this sets up. A little more reaction to Rit, and then your beef segment. We do the What's Your Beef segment every single Wednesday, generally in the second hour, where you can beef on anything you want. Basketball, football, baseball, hockey, golf, MMA, tennis, sports, non-sports, your life, whatever. Anything you want. Just bring me a beef. The beef number is 1-800-636-8686. You can beef on social, beef on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Beef via email, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Hey, Rome, whatever happened to the motto of the jungle? Have a take, don't suck. You give Garrett a whole segment, and there's not a sensical take anywhere in the whole dang thing. Bruno Mars concerts? Garth Brooks concerts? What the hell, Rome? Vince in Illinois wore nothing. This guy's segment. It was my birthday present to the old man. He's happy. He could talk about anything he wanted. He chose to talk about how COVID-19 screwed him out of a lot of money because he bought a bunch of Garth Brooks tickets that he was going to turn around and flip. Ticket broker, Ike Rit. Not only that, but he put Tom Hanks in the ground.
And Tom Hanks went belly up as well. So
dude, he didn't go belly up. He and Rita had COVID-19. They didn't go belly up, Rit. They're still with us. You, I don't know how much longer will be with us. I don't mean on the show. I mean on the planet.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Jim, after hearing Rit, you should have no problem getting your starting host gig back. Signed, Drew Bledsoe. Steven PHX.
That
or
is
Rit asking Rome
to my bottom line.
To go get him a refill on his coffee after this segment. Shows how much you know, Steve. Rit does not drink coffee. We've made that clear. If I'm going to refill anything, it's his hot chocolate.
Beautiful. Mwah.
It depends on where you're sitting and how you see things or hear things. Either that was the best thing you ever heard or the worst thing you ever heard. Which is what I was hoping for. Give me an A or give me an F. A C minus does nobody any good.
Bring it, maybe.
Babies are giving him an F, and babies are giving him an F or an A. He's getting both.
Can't do it, baby.
Baby. Ambi gave
Bring
him an
it
A.
On.
Ambi from Ambi. Rockland. What's with all the heavy breathing between the two of you?
Ambi.
When we come back. All right, so let me reset you. The beef segment is next. So reset yourselves. You need to come in with a beef. I know that's off clock for you. It's off the clock.
The clock.
Just today. Probably the beef segment will return to its rightful spot in hour number two. Dude, I cannot believe that you killed Tom Hanks off. He did not go belly up, Rit. He was one of the first
and Tom Hanks
public figures,
belly up as well,
so. Celebrities to acknowledge getting the virus. He did not go belly up. He's not dead, Rit. All right, I'm looking for your beefs. Call with a beef, tweet with a beef, email with a beef. Just bring the beef. That's next segment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Went belly up as well. So Bruno Mars.
And then Rich just talking out his ass and making stuff up on the air. Hey, Gary, you can't do that. If I'm going to put you in front of a microphone and turn the cameras on you, you need to be very careful in what you say.
Freaking ridiculous, right?
You can have a point of view. You can have your own takes. You just can't start making stuff up like Tom Hanks is dead. He's not. It is time now for the What's Your Beef segment. And as a reminder, all beef jerky is not the same. Old Trapper is better. Better for you, higher in essential protein, than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, or candy. So make sure you ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
Is this the beef jerky segment?
It is now. Rex, good friends of the program. My guys at Old Trapper, great product, great company, family run, and they have provided us with a genius segment once a week where you get to call in with your beefs. I don't even care what they are. It can be sports related or not. You can call it, you can tweet it, do whatever you want. Just come strong with a beef. What's your problem? What's on your mind? What are you beefing about? At Hitman Canadian, first one in, quote, my beef is I'm being replaced by Garrett Ritt. Signed, Howard Stern.
Talk to me, brother.
I think Howard's fine. I think Howard's not going to sweat Rit. Jim, I got beef with Jose Altuve. Can you throw the ball 5 feet and get an out? You're costing us another trip to the show. Sammy in H-Town. Yeah, that's not a good development. And again, once you get that, you can't always get rid of that. No matter who you are and what you've done prior to that. Jim, my beef is with Pete Carroll. Wearing a mask on the sidelines. You can't see him chew his gum. What's the point of watching the Seahawks now? Brent in PC. Dude, stick to the ATP. Craigmo, 202-62-596 tweets. My beef is with my moronic friends who act all upset when a music legend passes. When I've never heard them mention nor play their music. Hey, ass clown. Name me one Van Halen song. Or shut the hell up. Matt at Shubrock 15. Quote, my beef is with one up guy. You know the guy. Anything you've seen or did, he has to top it with something. Freaking Ahola. You got something to say, Hawk? Put on your headphones. All right, let me read this before you say what you're going to say, because you look like he's got his hand up, like, teacher, call on me. At Chubrock 15 tweets, my beef is with 1UP guy. You know the guy. Anything you have seen or did, he has to top it with something freaking a-hola. Do you have something to add, Adam?
We call that guy Keith Arnold.
We do. Why?
Because that's Keith's MO. It was the entire time he was here. You mention anything, he's been there, he's done it, he's seen it, and it's a way better, longer story than you could have ever possibly imagined yourself.
All right, so with fairness and respect to the guy with the pepperoni nipples, I mean, was he right? I mean, if you went to tell a story about you, did he have a story that was better than your story?
If fictitious lies are better than my story, then yes.
You're calling the guy a liar.
Absolutely.
You just called Keith Arnold a liar.
And a felon.
That has gotten into you. Did you ever tell him or call bullcrap on his stories when he was doing you like that?
I would just turn and walk away every time.
But you didn't call him a liar the way you just did right here.
Well, no. I mean, Alvin can attest to this. When Keith would tell stories
around here.
Why are you
dragging Alvin into this? This is your take.
I'm not saying Alvin thinks what I think. I'm saying Alvin has seen me call Keith a liar to his face many times.
Have you, Alvy? Dude, don't drag me into this. I'm Switzerland. I'm neutral. Why am I in the crosshairs?
No. Keith Arnold is 1UP guy.
I'm not combative.
He always has been.
He what?
He is 1UP guy. He always has been.
He's got a little bit of that in him, for sure.
He have big nipples. Like, let's be real.
All right. He can 1UP you on nipple size. All right, so anyway, I think whether or not Keith Arnold is that guy, we all know that guy, right? You start to tell a story, and immediately it registers with that guy. Oh, I got a story. I got a story for you. Hurry up and tell yours. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. And they're not even listening to your story. They're waiting for you to stop. And the second you stop, they jump in. You're right. That's good beef. Let's see. Wagner says, my beef is with LA natives promoting KMET and KLOS when everybody knows 93KHJ had 85% of the LA audience in the late 60s. Regards, Sam Riddle, Humble Harv, the real Don Steele, and Charlie Tuna. Hey, Wagner, how old are you? 90? Dude? Like, I listened to KHJ when I was a kid on an AM transistor radio. I'm not young, dude. And you're talking about the LA audience in the late 60s? Yeah, sorry, bro. Sorry I didn't reference AM radio. Now, actually, that was an amazing station. I did listen to KHJ when I was a kid. When I was a kid. Decades ago. Let's see. Alex, August the 3rd. Dear Jim, my beef is with Canada. They really want to wear a mask while wrestling with your significant other and no kissing. I will leave it there. Alex in Vegas. Bro, what do you care what they're doing there or how they get down or what props they use to get down? Like, dude, people are into things, man, that you would never believe or know about, and it's none of your business. What goes on behind closed doors is what goes on behind closed doors, man. What do you care? Garrett in Utah. Jim, our beef is with playing football. Signed, the Falcons. At Husker Rocker tweets, here's my beef. People that wear high water suit pants. You're not trendy. You just look stupid. I think he's directing that at you, Hawk. Rome, my beef is with those crappy little do not disturb signs in hotels that fall off every time I touch the door. Thank you. Greg. You're welcome, Greg. JJ Sportmo. My beef, Rit, only got one segment on his birthday. He needs 1 hour. War, super confidence.
Love it. Thanks, John. You're the man.
Love it. Thanks, Ambi. You're the lady clone. Hey, Jim, here's my beef.
Bring it, maybe.
Ike's Taste in Music. Bruno Mars. You went to a Bruno Mars concert by choice? Was Yoko Ono sold out? was Creed stuck in Orlando making double plays. And now you can't listen to Bruno Mars on the radio. Man, I want that problem. Vince in Illinois. Well played, Vince. It's good beef. Hey, Rome. My beef is with Laker fans in their 20s flaunting their 17 world titles when they've only been alive for like six of them. That's like your dad giving you his company and claiming you've owned it for 50 years. Regards, Yankee fans. Francis in Glendale, long-suffering Clipper fan, wore Ira Craig using Parmesan flakes as Lakers yellow confetti. Hey, Jim, you want to know what my beef is? My beef is that Garrett hasn't booked Garrett on the podcast yet. Happy birthday, boys. Bella B in Calgary. Rome Slice, I got beef with this studio chair not coming equipped with proper lumbar support and a donut cushion. Regards, Ike.
It's me, the most valuable and indispensable member of the XR4TI.
Ask him. Ritt. Garrett Ritt, the beef segment continues. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Detroit. Johnny in Detroit. Johnny, what's your beef?
Hey, Jimmy, my beef is with COVID canceling the Garth Brooks concert. Hey, but don't worry, Ritt. You can still catch Garth Brooks performing on Pornhub.
Hey, Hawk, no. Do you like working
you
here?
Like that call. I don't like that.
Because
call.
If you do, not you wouldn't put calls like that up. Which of you two dopes screened that telephone call?
Uh-oh.
Ritt, did he tell you that that's what he was going to do? Did you think that that would be okay? Or did you know that would not be okay, but you would think, or you thought that I would put that on Hawk?
Freaking ridiculous, right?
Anyway, let's go to New York. Woody. Woody, what's your beef?
Jimmy, thanks for the vine. My beef is with the Ritt Show for not running Rambling Ritt with the Jaws music. Come on, man. Get it together. Out.
Woody, not happy about Ritt. Look, it was his show. I promised him a segment. You don't give somebody a birthday present and then rip it right back while they're opening it. That was Ritt. I knew what I signed up for. I knew what I was getting into. I was not going to end it prematurely or take back what I had bestowed upon him. His gift. Let's continue with this beef segment. I'm telling you, Twitter and social is way better than the calls to beef with. Somebody hit me up with a good beef on the phones. Let's try Houston. Joseph in Houston. Joseph, it's good to have you. What's your beef?
My beef is with my rocket, Rome. Every time I call into the show for the past couple of years now, she likes to call on waiting and gets upset with me because I don't answer her call. And she just sent me a text and said, you must be talking to your boy. What kind of bromance is this? And I'm sick of it, bro. Hey, man, happy birthday to you and Ritt. Y'all have a blessed day.
You I'm too, out. Joseph. Appreciate you. Thank you very much. Rack him with that
Thanks,
beef.
Joe.
First of all, I love that he referred to his wife as the Rocket. Here's my beef, Rome. My beef is with the Rocket. Whenever I call you, she's blowing me up. And I'm like, just text me if you need me. And her response is, what the hell? What the hell is with that bromance between you and your guy? My beef is with the Rocket. I like a guy referring to his wife as the Rocket. The Rocket's been blowing me up all morning. Jano the Rocket's been blowing me up with nice, sweet things. Like, I don't even want to tell you. She would be so upset if I were to tell you the kind of things that the Rocket, quote, the Rocket's been blowing me up with this morning. But she has been, in the best way imaginable, saying very sweet Jano-related things on my birthday. 1-800-636-8686. What's your beef? Hey, something else I'm doing on Ritt's birthday, my birthday, Usher's birthday, John Wooden's birthday, Dwight Eisenhower's birthday, Stephen A. Smith's birthday.
Happy birthday, my man.
Thomas Dolby's birthday. Damn. Is there anybody in the world who was not born on October 14th? I'm doing a podcast. Buzz Williams, episode 147. I've got a prediction. It kills. He slays. Buzz is awesome. It's actually not a prediction. I've already taped it, so I know it's good. Rome, my beef is that I found out my dad is dead. Signed, Colin Hanks.
And Tom Hanks went belly up as well. So
Rita Wilson didn't want any of that. My beef is my husband is dead. I found out because I was listening to Rome or some old guy who was sitting in for Rome. Not dead, not even sick. Yet they had COVID-19 and they're fine now. All right, so we're setting up the last segment of the program. I told you, man, at the very top of the show, I said today's going to be a day. Today's going to be a great day. And it is. Lakers head coach Frank Vogel was in. John Morosi was in. Jeffrey Chidiha was in. The birthday old man Ritt was in.
I don't know who it's more fun for, me or you, but I appreciate it.
Definitely you, Ritt. Nobody had more fun than you, Ritt. Definitely you. You had even more fun than Ambi. And Ambi was having some fun now. Ambi said it. Like, I usually don't listen to the Rome Show for very long, but man, I could listen to you, Garrett, all Ambi. Day long. My favorite part of that segment was when Alvin dropped the porn music underneath the two of them. Yeah, Ambi.
Ambi.
Your name is Ambi. That rhymes with Bambi. I'm a gin dandy. Yo, Ambi, we say you and me have some candy. Kind of like the name Mandy. I'm a poet and didn't know it.
Bring it, babies.
Babies. Time now for a sports update. Time. So a few things I have to tell you about. Last segment, I want to thank you for the birthday wishes. Actually, I'm not sure that any of you actually did wish me a happy birthday. It's not too late. Just kidding. I want to thank you for the birthday wishes. Ritt would like to thank you for the birthday wishes. Thomas Dolby would like to thank you for the birthday wishes. Usher would like to thank you. Dwight Eisenhower would like to thank you. ATP is coming up momentarily. Huge call coming up. And again, I want you to listen to Buzz Williams. Buzz, the thing about the podcast is generally we do not double up on those too often. I'd have to go back and look at our library, our catalog. But if that's episode 147, Adam, like how many times have we repeated on a guest? Two or three times? David Goggins, for sure. Goggins is a repeat, but Goggins is one of my favorite people. Bob Costas, I believe, is a repeat. Costas is one of my favorite people. Let me think. Brian Koppelman, maybe more than once. Another one of my favorite people. Kevin Frazier is my favorite guy. So we don't do it very often. Like Buzz Williams. I had not spoken to him in a long time. And I felt the need to connect with him at this time. During the pandemic. And I don't know. Lots of things have changed. My perspective certainly has changed. This notion of relationships are like the most important thing. I find myself thinking a lot about that during these times. Buzz was somebody I want to connect with because I don't do that very often. And I'm so glad I did. Make sure you listen to that. Episode 147. We're going to push that out after the program today. ATP. Time to answer your Ask the Pros question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. She's back, Bella B. Hi, Jim. Will you break your own no adult beverages on weeknights to celebrate your birthday? What and how many will you have? Happy birthday, Bella. Bella, thank you very much. Great question. How many will I have, if in fact I do? I don't know. Bella, tune in tomorrow. If I look beat up and faded, you will know I got after it. You know, it's I'm getting a lot of that. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I don't know. What do you mean? What am I doing? It's your birthday. It's Wednesday. So it, generally, it does not change. It's I've got a work week. I've got a lot of stuff to do this weekend. Will I change up? Here's what I'm faced with on my birthday midweek. Is today a recovery day or do I knock out a workout? Is today a recovery day? And if I do work out, can I justify the midweek adult beverage, which I never indulge in? That's like game time decision, Bella. If I do it, I will not go hard. If I do it, I'll probably go one, if any. But more likely, I will move that celebration to Friday, keep it in-house, move it to the backyard, and keep it kind of low-key. We are still paying heed to the protocol. It's a good question, though, Bella. All of your ATPs are good questions. Let's go to the phones. All right, so I look at this guy on the screen, and I wonder if it's the guy who is on the screen. John in C-Town. John in C-Town is a legendary figure on this program. You know that soundbite that I play sometimes that may make no sense to you whatsoever? The lunch with the monkey soundbite? Do you know that one? Do you have that at the ready, Alvin? Anyway, if you know that bite, then you know the guy. I just don't know if this is that guy, but I'm about to find out. Let's go to C-Town. John in C-Town. Brother, is that you?
What is up, fan smack?
Happy birthday, man. Buddy. What's up, John? How you doing, bro?
I'm doing fine, Jimmy. You know, I've wanted to call in for some time because I'm getting pumped up every time you give my Browns some love. I mean, it's hard to find time to bust off a call because of my job. I mean, clones, a job is something that one does. No, screw it. Anyway, last season was an unmitigated disaster, as we all know. But then the front office finally got its collective head out of their ass, and they hired Stefanski to run the ship. Now we have a stability and a coherent plan of attack on any given Sunday. When Chubb comes back healthy, we have arguably the best backfield in the NFL, as you know. OBJ, he's a handful personality-wise, but he's drinking the Kool-Aid and balling, along with his boy Jarvis Landry. And Baker Mayfield, he's grown into a leader and doing what he needs to do. I mean, the guy has had more offensive coordinators and head coaches in the last 3 years, and I don't know, Patty Modesto avoids sobriety checkpoints. But the defense is a work in progress, and it's starting to gel. And this week is against Pittspuke. It'll be a damn good test to see where we're truly at. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, what's his claim to fame, Jim? He had a picture of his pie hole plastered outside of every woman's restroom within a 3-mile radius. I have no respect for this team. So you keep giving my Brownies the good jungle karma. There's no limit to what we can achieve with Vance Mack pimping us as truly America's team.
To me, the jungle's more than just a radio show. It's a way of life. What is up with you, Smack? What is up with you, Smack? Tour stop rolling to C-Town. Tour stop rolling to C-Town. Tour stop rolling to C-Town. Yeah, I do got Jimmy's back. And lunch with the monkeys. 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 Monkey, monkey, monkey. Life's tough, but it's tougher when you're stupid. Monkey, 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 monkey. War furball, war furball. You and I are going to go mano a mano. The legal guardian of the jungle. That's a great honorary title. Got your back, got your back, got your back, got your back.
My man! John in C-Town. The best part about that is like, the looks of bewilderment on the other side of the glass. Like, Ritt and Adam Hawk have no idea what's going on. That's how old school John in C-Town is. That's John, my brother. It is so good to hear from you. Sincerely, truly, that's my guy right there, John in C-Town. I've got mad loyalty to John in C-Town. You know, put aside what he had to say about the Browns. That's totally irrelevant and immaterial. Not to me, because, you know, that is America's team. I love these guys. But John in C-Town was one of, like, you think John in New York loves me? John in C-Town had every bit the love and respect for me that John in New York does. And John in New York loves me, man. Don't get that twisted. John in C-Town was the kind of guy that when the monkey in C-Town messed with the show, he went crazy. Like, he was getting the guy on the phone. He was banging the guy on the door. Or when some local columnist was pot-shotting the show, John wanted a piece of him, too. And then when other monkeys in other markets, program directors, were messing with the show, John would find them as well. Like, nobody took the show more seriously than John in C-Town. It's my guy right there. But back in the day, when he would call the show, which was pretty frequently, many of you felt that his calls sounded exactly the same. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, out of nowhere, that tape that Alvin's playing right now showed up in the mail. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Brian Albers, not you, Alvy, that actually doctored that thing up, tricked that thing up with the production value. I mean, this goes, so this is like one of those just crazy jungle stories from back in the day. So when John in C-Town calls up, that's a holy crap moment. This guy. That's my man, John in C-Town. Rack him. Good man, John. Good to hear from you, bro. Granger helps your business move forward. I mean, what a day. Ritt got a segment. John in C-Town called. Frank Vogel came in. Granger helps your business move forward with supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop on by. I need a huge call. There's no doubt who gets it today.
So we're in. Full hour early. We're having dinner there. We're getting some drinks, seeing the opening band. Everything beautiful. Mwah. Perfect night. Show starts, and we're about 90 seconds into the first song when an usher comes down and pokes me on the shoulder asking to see my tickets. Now, I don't know much, but I know that this is not a good sign. And even worse is when two other people are right behind him with identical tickets, and this one's on their Ticketmaster app, no less. So my hard tickets are looking pretty puny right about now.
So normally, when that's you hear wild. Your voice for the first time, you hate the way it sounds. It took me like 30 years to get used to the sound of my voice. Not Ritt. Ritt's like, man, I sound good. I love the sound of my voice. Even better, I love the way I look. Garrett
man,
Ritt, happy
good.
Birthday, old man. Happy birthday. Well done. You handled your business like the extremely unwarranted, arrogant guy that you are. That was fun. Happy birthday to him. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. We're out.